and welcome to Dr. Cathy Weston's Wednesday Wisdom.
10 common mistakes loving parents make. Number one, they never put themselves first. Self-care is not something that loving parents often value. They're so entirely focused on their children, their welfare, their mental health, their well-being, that they fail to recognize the value of taking care of one's own body and mind. This is understandable, yet short-sighted. We know that parental mental health is highly correlated with children's mental health. So we need to take our own feelings and experiences seriously. We need to be proactive about self-care, show our children what matters to us, and actively model how we invest in both our mental and physical health. In this way, we help to future-proof our children. Believe it or not, by investing in self-care, we take the pressure off our children in a way that's beneficial to their mental health. They don't relish being constantly scrutinized and will enjoy and be inspired by hearing a parent articulate what makes them feel good, how they want to set goals for themselves, and how they manage to be motivated despite any challenges that crop up. Number two, parents think they need to have every answer. Whether it is at homework time or when a child is struggling emotionally, loving parents think they need to have all the answers, give expert advice, and be able to solve all problems and obstacles. As counterintuitive as this may be, this approach does not help our children whatsoever. By providing all the answers, we're in danger of undermining their self-confidence. A better approach is to sit alongside them emotionally, actively listening to them when problems crop up, and giving them space and time to puzzle things out. In this way, the lessons they learn along the way are more deeply understood and their confidence in their own capabilities grows. Number three, sometimes even loving parents express alarm when their child messes up. Is there anything worse in the world as a child than seeing grave disappointment in your parents' face, knowing that you messed up but tried your very best? Our facial gestures, tone, immediate emotional responses to our children's oops moments matter a great deal. Unfortunately, negative parental responses to children making mistakes can be detrimental to their self-esteem, confidence, and be extremely demotivating. Children can quickly decide never to confess any future errors for fear of the reaction and simply pass on sanitized reports of their progress at school. This isn't healthy. Instead, children need to know that in your household, mistakes are seen as a normal part of learning, innovation, and effort. The main thing is that we acknowledge and learn from our mistakes. A failure to accept failure can exacerbate anxiety in children, and nobody wants that. Number four, sometimes loving parents don't have enough faith in their child. Children are capable of extraordinary things, yet often through no fault of their own, the lack of faith that others have in them can stop their aspirations in their tracks. Sadly, sometimes it's the parent who exhibits the least amount of faith in them, and this can have long-term consequences. I have often stood beside a parent who declares in full earshot to their child, "They aren't very academic," or "Maths really isn't his thing." The child's demeanor in these moments says it all. "If you have no faith in me, I won't either." Children need their strengths rather than their weaknesses identified and nurtured by those that love them most in the world. Where they do struggle, support them. Look for strategies that will help them. Help them chart progress and watch them grow in confidence. Number five, sometimes loving parents don't pick up on early hints. That health visitor those early years teachers, the primary teacher who took a parent aside, or the secondary school teacher who conveyed some concern in that school report. They all had a point to make, and it may have been swiftly brushed under the carpet. It can be hard as a parent to hear about concerns relating to one's own child, and parents can easily and mistakenly assume they're being blamed. However, it takes some courage for professionals to make gentle observations, and we as parents need to take them on the chin, recognise that those individuals only have our child's best interests at heart, and focus on working collaboratively to work out the next steps. Number six, sometimes loving parents have a laissez-faire attitude to sleep. When I'm contacted by any parent worried about their child's anxiety, behaviour, friendships at school, mental health or well-being, my first question is always about the quality of their sleep. Poor sleep hygiene, which is currently rife among UK teens, for example, can easily contribute to poor focus, concentration, a deterioration in behaviour and an increase in emotional difficulties. Getting one's child to go to bed at night is at the heart of authoritative parenting, a parenting style that is associated with optimal academic, emotional, and social outcomes in children. There's even recent evidence suggesting setting a bedtime for older teens is associated with less depression and suicidal ideation. Sleep matters, and it needs to be a major focus within family life at all stages of a child's development. Number seven in the list of common mistakes that loving parents make is they think one size fits all. I can recall meeting a young mum who could not figure out why her twin girls were so different. One had no trouble sitting down at the desk in her bedroom to do her homework, whilst the other one found sitting down at a desk after a long day at school really restrictive. It hadn't occurred to this mum that her children had different approaches, preferences, personalities, and that what worked for one child may not work for the other. Parents often compare one child's compliance to that of a sibling and can reach false conclusions. Instead, as parents, we should tune into what makes each individual child tick and adopt a more flexible mindset when trying to accommodate their needs. Number eight, parents using negative self-talk when describing their own bodies. Body image is about how we think about our own bodies and whether or not we feel positive about it. Unfortunately, poor body image is widespread among children and young people, with girls being disproportionately impacted. The reasons for this are complex, but the rise in social media, the amplification of a celebrity culture that values body perfectionism, and the associated technology that allows users to edit and improve their own looks undoubtedly plays a part. A more overlooked aspect of poor negative image is how we talk about our own bodies in front of our children. Looking in the mirror and articulating a lot of negative self-talk about one's own adult body impacts on listening children. Instead, practice body gratitude as a family, talking about how amazing our bodies are and all the things that they enable us to do and the things that they've achieved. Teach your children to be media literate, challenging rather than accepting everything they digest on digital media. And tell your children all the things about their bodies that you love. Number nine. Parents think that all the learning happens at school, and this is a mistake. Truth be told, schools will never be as influential as an engaged parent. Parental engagement in children's lives and learning is critical, and is strongly associated with positive academic outcomes. Parental aspirations and the views they hold about school shape children's attitudes. The extent to which a child comes from a positive home learning environment dictates how well they do at school. If parents model a positive attitude to learning, set high but realistic expectations, value reading, family talk, discussion, and see their role as partner to the teacher, children will nearly always thrive. The greatest learning will always happen between parent and child within everyday interaction and through the opportunities and experiences afforded to that child within family life. Number 10. Parents often focus on screen time rather than digital hygiene. Yes, excessive screen time is not so good for eyesight or posture, but it's not harmful per se. So says the research evidence, which emphasizes something much more important, the concept of digital hygiene. There is a big difference between whether or not a child is doing a Latin quiz for an hour online or viewing highly inappropriate material. Parents need to pay much more attention to the quality and suitability of what their children are doing online, rather than policing the numbers of minutes spent using the tech. Loving parents always teach their children how to cross the road, wash their hands before dinner, but may neglect to teach them how to navigate the World Wide Web safely and securely.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Wednesday Wisdom. If you'd like to receive a copy of Cathy's weekly newsletter, please email office@drcathywestern.com.